Okay, we're going to get started this morning. I want to welcome everybody that's watching online today to our morning Bible study. We're going to be in the 14th chapter of the book of Zechariah. By the way, I had a question I asked. Can't remember if it was in the morning service or the evening service last Sunday, where Aziel was. It's spelled sometimes A-Z-E-L, sometimes A-Z-A-L. It appears nobody knows. I was Googling it and looking it up as in today's times or in biblical times, either one. And it's a certain area in Israel, but nobody knows, can pinpoint exactly where it is today. And so I was going to let you all know about that. That I'm not quite as ignorant as I thought I was. Almost, not quite. So I want to remember. Yeah, you know where it is?
There?
Yeah, I see it.
Jordan's right here.
Is that today's map?
Well, I hit location and that's what came up, so okay. I'm assuming it is.
I guess it is too. Well, I looked in the references that I looked it up, and it was like the greatest percentage I found that they knew exactly where it was 20%, and the rest of them were 10% that they knew where it was located. But I see it on that map there, so we'll just take that for granted. Now, I can't tell exactly where that's at in Israel because it's at a distance. But that was a scripture we read last Sunday. In Zechariah, beginning in the third chapter, then we went from there to Revelation chapter 19. But in the third verse of the 14th chapter, 14th chapter, third verse, then the Lord will go out and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. On that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, East Jerusalem, and the Mount of Olives will be split in two from the east to the west, forming a great valley with half the mountain moving north, half moving south. You will flee by my mountain valley, for it will extend to Azel, A-Z-E-L. Now, I saw one reference where it said that is the Mount of Olives. And I don't understand why it would be, because it says from the Mount of Olives, you'll be fleeing to Azel. Flee by my mountain valley, for it will extend to Azel. You will flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, the king of Judah. Then the Lord my God will come and all his holy ones with him. Now then, we're going to start in right there. If you go through the scriptures and you look at the different scriptures and references, holy ones can be interpreted three different ways, and either Old Testament saints, the church, or angels. And all three may be included in this translation here, in this group. They could be these three different groups that are all coming out of heaven with Christ in his coming to earth in his second coming on that day, or the day of the Lord, as we've been studying through this. Now, we've gone through all of this, and so now we have, if we draw a narrative or a picture of where we're at right now, we have all the Antichrist and the false prophet and all the nations of the world gathered against Israel and Jerusalem in particular, and we have them all gathered together against them. They have suffered great defeat because it says in here that two-thirds of the population of Israel will die. And so they were looking at a remnant then of about a third of the people that will be fleeing through the valley that we just read about here, that has been formed when Christ stands on the Mount of Olives and the mountain splits and forms this valley. And so it is in that valley, as the Israel flees, that the nations will come together, and that's where the Battle of Armageddon itself will take place, in this valley. And in this same valley, I believe it's also called the Valley of Decision and the Valley of Jezreel. And so this is the valley that we're looking at, and it extends all the way to this area called Azel or Azel, whichever way you pronounce it there in the scriptures. So that's a picture of what we go and see going on. And then they will see Christ, and we went to Revelation last week, and we saw what the vision that John had on the Isle of Patmos when he said, I saw heaven opened up, and he saw Christ coming on a white horse, and thousands of his, you can find it interpreted two or three different ways. Saints, angels, holy ones in this group that's coming with Christ out of heaven. So now I'm going to take you to a couple of other scriptures to look at that. And the first one I'm going to is in 1 Thessalonians. And it's in the third chapter of 1 Thessalonians and the 13th verse of 1 Thessalonians. It's the third chapter and the 13th verse. The third chapter and the 13th verse. It says, may he, speaking of Christ, strengthen your heart so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of God and Father, and of our God and Father, when our Lord Jesus Christ comes with all his holy ones. So here it is translated holy ones. That in others it's translated saints. In others it's translated angels. So we see the different groups that can be included in this. Now I'm going to the book of Jude. The book of Jude. Little book back here by Revelation. And I'm going to Jude and the 14th verse. Give you time to get there. Jude 14. It's not chapter 14, just one chapter, but it's the 14th verse of Jude. All right, Jude 14th verse. Enoch the seventh from Adam prophesied about these men. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones. He's coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts they have done in the ungodly way and of all the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. All right, so here he says he's coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones. So here we we see the same thing. Now I'm going to Colossians. Going over to Colossians. Chapter 3. And verse 14. Let's see if I wrote that down wrong. No. I can't even read my own writing because I wrote over it. Just a minute. Oh, no wonder. It's not 14, it's 4. I got a frog in my throat this morning. All right. Chapter 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is your life, appears. Now, when this appears, that's when he comes, when he appears. Then you will appear with him in glory. Then you will appear with him in glory. So when he appears, you will appear with him. And so we have these, all of these verses of Scripture which indicate that when Christ, at the end of time, when Christ comes out of heaven, when Israel is surrounded by all of the nations and the armies of the world and its enemies, and Christ comes down, that we will come with him. The angels probably, most assuredly, will come with him. So you get this picture of an immense, the one scripture we just read in Jude said thousands upon thousands. In other words, a great multitude, almost so many you can't count, that we will see that he speaks about coming out of heaven here at the time that we see here in Zechariah is prophesying the second coming of Christ to earth and the destruction of the enemies of Israel. All right. Now I'm going to show you, let me go back to Zechariah for just a moment. I want to show you what a unique time that's going to be. On chapter 14 of Zechariah, verse 6. Chapter 14 of Zechariah, verse 6. On that day, which we've seen many times here in these chapters, 13 and 14, on that day there will be no light, no cold or frost. It will be a unique day, and now we're really talking about a specific time. You know, we talked about the day of the Lord being a period of time. Now we've brought it down to a specific day or time. Okay. No cold or frost. It will be a unique day without daytime or nighttime. A day known to the Lord. When evening comes, there will be light. All right, now I want to take this one scripture and I want to verify it through some other scriptures that we have in the Bible. And I'm going back to the book of Isaiah, the 13th chapter. And the 9th verse. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 9. I'll give you a moment to get there. See, the day of the Lord is coming, a cruel day with wrath and fierce anger, to make the land desolate and destroy the sinners within it. The stars of heaven and their constellations will not show their light. The rising sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. We see here the very same thing that we read here in Zechariah, we see in the book of Isaiah as well. Now I'm going to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6, 12 through 14. Revelation chapter 6, 12 through 14. And here we have the breaking of the seals. Okay? He says in verse 12, I watched as he opened the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake. Now, we just talked about that previously last Sunday. When his feet lands on the Mount of Olives, there'll be a great earthquake. The mountain will split in two, form the valley. There was a great earthquake. The sun turned black as sackcloth made of goat hair, and the whole moon turned blood red. And the stars in the sky fell to the earth as late figs drop their fig tree, were shaken by the strong wind. And the sky receded like a scroll rolling up, and every mountain and island was moved from its place. Then the kings of the earth, the princes, generals, rich and mighty, and every slave and every free man hid in caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they called to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand? So here we see in Revelation chapter 6, verse 12 through 14, we see the same thing happening and expounded upon here that we saw in Zechariah and then these other chapter and verses of Scripture. All right, now then, go back to Zechariah. And what I'm trying to show you is that there is verification in all these different places in the Bible of what was prophesied in Zechariah. He's not the only one. All through Scripture, New and Old Testament, we see verification of the same thing that is described in Zechariah happening and prophesied there as well, which makes us understand that this is definitely an event that is going to happen in the manner that is prophesied in Zechariah. Now we come to something else that makes this absolutely unique and different from any other time in the history of the earth. And that's in the next verse. And that's verse 8. On that day, living water will flow out from Jerusalem, half to the eastern sea, half to the western sea, in summer and in winter. All right. Now here we've got another form of nature being changed in these rivers that are now flowing out from where they were not before, taking place. All right. Now, Book of Ezekiel 47. You don't have to go for this one. In here somewhere. There, it's stuck together. All right, the book of Ezekiel 47, verses 1 through 12. The man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple. Remember what we just read in Zechariah concerning the throne and the temple and water gushing out from beneath. He says, the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east, and the water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. And he then brought me out through the north gate and led me around outside the outer gate facing east, and the water was flowing from the south side. And as the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and then led me through water that was ankle deep. He measured off another 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee deep. He measured off another 1,000 and led me through water that was up to the waist. He measured off another 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. And he said, and he asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" And so this is a picture. Then he led me back to the bank of the river. And when I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. And he said to me, "The water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the Araba, where it enters the sea. When it empties into the sea, the water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows, and there will be large numbers of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore from Engedi to Iglam. There will be places for spreading nets." So this is great news, Jim. We have fish and fishermen. We have fish and fishermen. And this is describing the same thing that was prophesied in Zechariah chapter 14 that we just read over there. So what do we see exactly? We see Israel surrounded by the Antichrist and the armies of the world. We see that a great slaughter has already taken place. Blood is running bridal deep for 200 miles. We have 2/3 of the population of Israel that will be destroyed. We have 1/3 of Israel, which is the remnant, of those who will repent and believe, fleeing and being saved as Christ comes down and fights. Also, we see changes in the universe, and we see changes in the geography of the earth at the same time. We see during this unique time that we read about in Zechariah, rivers flowing where there have not been rivers. And you say, "Well, why is that so important?" Because the Bible says the deserts are going to bloom. The deserts are going to bloom. The Dead Sea will become fresh water. And we see out of these rivers that are coming out from under the temple, we will see that they are full of fish, that they are full. And all these things happening during this time is preparing the way for the new kingdom that God is setting up on earth with Christ, and that's what we'll see in the next verse when he takes the throne, Christ as ruler over everything in this earth, in this world. And we see all these changes that Flora doesn't appreciate what I'm teaching, I don't think. We see all these changing taking place, and we see at the same time Christ, the angels, and the saints coming down out of heaven. So this, if you look at this as a mural, as a picture, it is the most amazing thing that has ever happened on the face of the earth. Not only are the enemies of Israel being defeated, but nature is being changed. The climate is being totally changed when all this takes place. And so this is what we see happening. And I wanted to show you that this scripture describing these rivers is not just in Zechariah. Here we read about it in Ezekiel as well. I wanted to see if I had another place I wanted to go to show you that. besides these places that we have here. But that's the one I wanted to show you. All right, now I'm going back to Zechariah. Has anybody got a question? Has anybody got a question? All right.
When I was studying this, MacArthur had a thought process on this that I thought was so cool. He just said, only the Lord knows his plan. But all the lights will go out. Everything will be black. And then we have the glory of the Lord. And the millennium kingdom begins.
Amen.
And I just thought that was so awestruck. You know, that picture of everything just going out. And then God.
But That's what John saw when he said the sky was rolled back like a scroll. I would imagine the picture we have of it is everything becoming black, and then out of the blackness, as the sky, as the universe opens up, you have the brilliance of Christ and lighting everything as he comes out of the blackness of heaven, out of the blackness of the universe to earth. And so it is, someone might say, well, what if you're not looking that way? Well, everybody will be looking that way. If there's all blackness and then this light opens up out of heaven and floods the earth, and you see all this, that is all you will see. And so it kind of gives us explanation as we look at it. And that's when the Jews, the remnant, will see Christ. And so we have this vivid picture of all these things happening at the return of Christ to earth in the second coming. And now we come to the crowning of the Lord as king in the 9th verse of the 14th chapter. And the Lord will be king over the whole earth. On that day there will be one Lord, and his name the only name. The whole land from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem, will become like Arabah. But Jerusalem will be raised up and remain in its place. From the Benjamin gate to the site of the first gate to the corner gate, and from the gate to the corner gate, and from the tower of Hanau to the royal wine presses, it will be inhabited. Never again will it be destroyed. Jerusalem will be secure. Okay. So here we have Christ on the throne. Here we have Christ being crowned over his kingdom as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Now we come to the method by which the armies and all those unbelievers and the armies and the nations that are gathered together will be destroyed. We read in other places in Scripture, I believe it's Revelation, where it says, his eyes are like a blazing fire, and out of his mouth comes a sharp two-edged sword. Here we have an explanation that is more understandable and vivid of what will happen in that day. And it's there in verse 12 in Zechariah 14. This is the plague with which the Lord will strike all the nations that fought against Jerusalem. Now we're not just talking about the armies. We're talking about all the nations that fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh will rot while they are still standing on their feet. Their eyes will rot in their sockets, and their tongues will rot in their mouths. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen it. Pictures from Hiroshima or Nagasaki in Japan, when the atomic bomb was dropped on Japan, the same thing happened. People, the power of nuclear fission is so hot and so great that people's flesh melted from their bodies while they were still standing up. That's what happens when nuclear fission takes place. And then you look at this, and this is what it's describing here in the book of Zechariah, that the flesh will rot or burn off their bodies while they're still standing, and eyes out of in their eye sockets, tongues in their mouths. That's the same thing we saw happening there. And so we see the method through which Christ will destroy the enemies of Israel, probably. Now, we don't know exactly what that is, but that's the only thing that we've got right now we can relate it to. We can't relate to. The only thing we could relate to that as being that. And it says in verse 13, on that day men will be stricken by the Lord with great panic. Each man will seize the hand of another, and they will attack each other. Judah too will fight at Jerusalem. And the wealth of all the surrounding nations will be collected in great quantities of gold and silver and clothing. And a similar plague will strike horses, mules, camels, donkeys, and all the animals in these different places as well. Then the survivors from all the nations that have attacked Jerusalem, the survivors of all those nations, and those survivors of all those nations will be saved Gentiles. And so you'll have saved Jews and you'll have saved Gentiles. And so what will happen? It says, we'll go up year after year in worship the King, the Lord Almighty, and to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. And if any of the people of the earth do not go up to Jerusalem to worship the King and the Lord Almighty, they will have no rain. If the Egyptian people do not go up and take part, they will have no rain. The Lord will bring on them the plague he inflicts on the nations that do not go up to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. This will be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that do not go up to celebrate the Feast of the Tabernacle. There will not be a choice. Everyone will go and worship the Lord Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that is why it is talking about in Scripture that Jerusalem will enlarge itself, and we've read earlier in the book of Zechariah, and become enormously huge. And then we read here in Zechariah, be raised up. It is going to be the central place of everything on this earth at that time. And Jesus Christ will rule and reign over all of it as a theocracy. And justice will prevail immediately at that time. And you and I will be here serving him at that time in glorified bodies. And that's hard for us to imagine, but that's according to Scripture, that is how it will be at that time. There will be people serving him that are angels, people serving him that are Old Testament saints, and then people serving him that are New Testament saints in the church age with glorified bodies. And so that's what we see as we look at this. And it goes on to say, and I haven't got time because the second bell rung, but it goes on to say, everything will be holy unto the Lord. Everything will be holy unto the Lord. Even the bells on the horses will be holy. And the pots and the pans that people cook in will be holy unto the Lord. It's speaking of everything becoming sanctified, sacred, and holy unto the Lord as the vessels were in the temple when it was built at that time. All right, and that gets us through Zechariah. Okay, so next Sunday morning, I'm going to start a whole new study. And you don't know what it is. And you'll have to come to see. I'm 99.9% sure what it's going to be. I'll put it that way. I hope you enjoyed this. It was very interesting and encouraging to me as I studied through it myself. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today, for the people that are here that you have brought to your house to study the Word. We pray for those that are less fortunate, that aren't able to be here with us, that you might raise them up to health and strength. Lord, bless Brother Trad as he preaches today. We pray that you would bless and watch over as we gather together. And Lord, we pray the Spirit of God might come down, and if there's anyone lost in the service today, they might be saved. Thank you for Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, and our soon-coming King, and the life we have in Him only by His grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.